Before we start, we give a little idea about the context of today's talk. I mean, we're Bristol Radical History Group. I've got to say that some of this talk and walk comes from a radical history tour that Ian Bone, one of a Bristol author you might know, did a few years ago, and it's one of the reasons we started the group. So what we've done is not try and cover all the radical history, which is impossible with central Bristol, but to try and pick out two sort of elements, and you could say competing elements in history. One is to look at like individual activists who may or may not have changed history. Some of them certainly did affect history in Bristol and the wider world. But also to look at the radical crowd as well, how the crowd has affected history, the people who are unnamed, the people we don't know who they are. So the idea of this talk is to try and have a little comparison between the activists we're going to talk about and various sort of bits of history, and also how the crowd has affected things in Bristol. That's kind of the plan. I think that's important to us as a group, because it's very easy to pick up on these personalities. It's much harder to pick up on how groups of people are unnamed, how they organised when people didn't read and write, how they actually recorded things, they didn't record things. It's very hard often to understand big events like riots or demonstrations that have not been organised by people who can read and write necessarily. So that's what we're going to try and cover today. So it's kind of social history, a radical history of central Bristol, comparing activists and the crowd. I think I was just... What did you want to mention to me?
That was it.
Okay, I don't know whether you want to...
Dawn's just going to slot in. Since we had the event on suffragettes earlier this afternoon at Temple Meet, Dawn's just going to describe what happened in Polston Hall, since we're just right next to it.
Just very briefly, just a short item. The Bristol suffragettes managed to hide in the organ of the Colston Hall and heckled the political meeting that was happening at the time. And I kept coming across something very strange, that I was finding two dates, a 1909 and a 1912. And then when I started researching it, I discovered they actually did it twice. So the dates weren't wrong, they did manage to get away with it twice. Amazingly, they managed the second time, they must have forgotten what they'd done. And 1909, it was Mr. Burrell who was coming to Bristol to talk, a minister, and two suffragettes managed to hide behind the organ in the loft, Elsie Howie and Vera Wentworth, and it took them quite a while to find them. It took them at least an hour, and they kept calling out, "Votes for women," and they were hunting around all over the place trying to find them, and eventually ejected them. And you do have to remember, at this time, women were not allowed into political meetings because the heckling had started, because they would talk about votes for women, and the ministers did not want to speak about it, so they would not let them in the first place. So they would disguise themselves as men or boys with flat caps, then start sort of handing out leaflets, and hiding in the organ was another thing they did. In 1912, it was Mr. Hobhouse, he was here, and the Votes for Women magazine actually stated, "Mr. Hobhouse hears voices from the organ." And there was a lot about it in the press.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks.